What is energy healing? People who have found holistic healing techniques have added to the balance in their lives. Now, you can find balance in your life, too. Welcome to Healing Possibilities with Tracy Makarenko. Holistic healing is an integral part of life energy. Each program explores in detail a different part of the healing process with supplemental guidance from your host and other guests. Now, here is Tracy Makarenko.
Good morning. This is Tracy Makarenko. I am joined today by my breath master, Dan Brule. He was there in the beginning when I went through all my healing. And Dan, you are the reason I think I've become a healer. You were just so inspiring to watch during the sessions. Welcome.
Well, thank you. And, well, that's the way the breath works. It connects us with our spirit, with our purpose, and sounds perfectly natural.
Oh, yeah, I feel that the breathing patterns, they really connect to our life patterns.
Oh, exactly. Every momentary state is being expressed and reflected perfectly moment to moment by the breathing. If we just become more aware of the breathing, it takes us right into the moment and right into whatever is happening in us.
Which is everything.
which is more than most people can handle, which is why, for some strange reason, we need a process to open up to all that we are, you know. And breathing is just such a perfect tool for doing that, to opening ourselves more and more, letting go of any blocks to our awareness of our greater self. And as it should be, it's right under our nose, it's obvious, it's simple, it's basic, and that's probably the reason most people never get around to it. It's too obvious.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you've been doing this for a long time.
I have. You know, I think the angel of breath just grabbed me by the scruff of my neck when I was an infant, and I really haven't had much choice, going wherever it took me, into whatever lessons I needed and whatever teachers I needed. Somehow life just kept throwing me in front of the right person at the right time to learn what I needed to learn, and the breath seemed to be that companion through the whole journey.
So what was your most impressive experience in the beginning?
Well, finding the beginning might be the challenge. I can remember I was raised in Catholic Church, and in the first grade, every Friday, the priest would come and visit all of the classes at the elementary school. And I can remember him coming one day, and the nun would sort of sit in the back with the kids. It was the only time we felt like she was one of us, when the priest came in and she would sit down. And he talked about Genesis and how, you know, God took the dust of the earth and formed the body of man and breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Well, I don't know. When I heard that, it was just the most exciting thing I had ever. And, you know, with a child's imagination, it just exploded into this amazing experience that I couldn't understand why everybody wasn't jumping up and down like I was. I couldn't understand why everyone wasn't excited. I'm thinking, wait a minute, the next breath coming into me, that's God breathing into me. Whoa, what do we do with this? And so I think that was like my initial awakening, probably, to at least the potential and the power of it. And then I had a couple of near-drowning experiences growing up, and got the wind knocked out of me a lot of times, and made me had to search to be able to breathe again. And so it seemed like life kept setting up, you know, experiences and events to make me tune into my breath, make me remember it, make me explore it, play with it. And so probably officially or technically the first time I started working with the breath was as a student in X-ray school. I was as an X-ray technician, and I was at Boston City Hospital, and there was a flyer on the bulletin board for anybody who wanted to volunteer to get onto the crash team to learn CPR. And so I took that CPR course, and the first time I resuscitated somebody, I was totally hooked. I mean, you know, you come upon somebody who's clinically dead. They're not breathing. They don't have a pulse. You blow into them and you beat on their chest a couple of times. And then they wake up and they blink and they look at you.
Yeah.
I went, oh my God, this is a miracle. And, so I was totally hooked on that. And I worked at it for many years. I resuscitated, officially 19 people of about 23 that I attempted. And was teaching it. I trained probably, I don't know, 5,000-10,000 CPR instructors and trainers. And, you know, I was a trainer for the Red Cross and for the Heart Association. So I was spreading the miracle of breath in the only way I knew. And it sure seemed like a miracle that we could breathe into somebody and they would come to life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you love something, the universe keeps giving you opportunities to do it.
Yeah.
And I would get up in the morning, I would be hoping someone would have a heart attack so I could rescue them. I was, you know, and it kept happening. I'd be on a plane, somebody have a heart attack. I'm at the beach, someone's drowning. I'm in a restaurant, someone chokes on food. And so I'm thinking, well, maybe I'm bad luck. But I just loved the rescue part of it. And it seemed life just kept giving me opportunities. And so, in 1976, I discovered rebirthing. And then it changed everything. Everything up-leveled, because then instead of coming upon somebody who was clinically dead and breathing with them and then they were alive, now I was coming up to people who were already alive, breathing with them, and they became more alive.
Yeah.
So I was satisfying the same urge in myself, and yet the work became so much lighter, so much more beautiful. And if a session didn't work out into a miracle, I could sleep at night, and so it was great.
Oh, that's just so fascinating how we find our path.
It finds us.
Yeah.
Maybe just hard-headed. Some people, they find it very quickly, but it took years of, and the spirit knocks, and then it knocks a little louder, and then pretty soon it's banging on the door, and then it's banging on you, and finally, you know, I got it.
Yeah.
So I hope other people learn more easily. And that's part of what my work is now, just helping people to find a very easy, gentle, direct way, to embody their higher self, to get in touch with their spirit and their purpose. And the breath works like a charm. You know, I still scratch my head and think, wow, this is amazing and so simple.
It is. I'm still amazed at where it can take you and what you discover on that journey.
Yeah, exactly. And it never ends.
No, it doesn't. It never ends. So,
you're from Moscow at the moment. And so, you know, I'm on my, one of my, I guess I call this my summer tour. And I just keep going wherever people are ready to breathe.
And you've been there for a few months touring and doing workshops, haven't you?
Well, I started in July in Greece, and then I went to Slovenia, and then Lithuania, and now Russia, and next I go to Kyrgyzstan, and then Romania, and I finish about the 5th of September. I'll take most of the month of September to just catch up with friends and family. And then I'm off again in the end of September to South Africa. It'll be my third trip there.
Wow.
And after that, I'm taking a little group to India.
Yeah, I saw that. I was really excited. Can't make it this time, but boy, I'd love to go to India with you and do some breathing.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, a lot of what I do, it's kind of westernized or modernized approach to some very ancient practices, you know.
Well, and I saw on your website something about Tantra. That's very Indian based, isn't it?
It is. It's it's a style, a form of yoga, very ancient. And I met Shakti Malan, who's a Dakini, a Tantrika. And she was in South Africa, a very powerful woman, anthropologist, archaeologist, and found she was out doing a vision quest out in the plains of Africa somewhere alone, and got her message. Okay, this is why you're here. This is what you need to do. And she became a tantric, found some tantric schools and teachers. And over the years, she's become a powerful tantric teacher. And so when I went to South Africa on my first visit, I was in Cape Town. She came to do a session. And from the very first breath, I was thinking, oh my God, this woman is so open to energy, to prana, to spirit, to life, and so alive. And, so after the session, we talked and said, God, you know, like, you should be teaching me something. You know, you really got something that I didn't have to give you any, you know, it was such an easy process for me, such everything worked so easily and naturally for her. And so we decided, well, let's do some stuff together. So we did. We've done four or five different things together in Kazakhstan, in Russia, and South Africa. And we'll probably do another thing next year together. And I love the combination because the energy is the same. And there are so many ways to access it. And when you come at it from several directions at the same time, it's kind of like triangulating in radar. You just can't miss it. If you try one path, you might miss it by a hair, you know, you might just slide by. And but if you combine some things that are all aimed at the same place, it really accelerates and deepens and expands all the possibilities. So I love bringing that aspect into the breathing, her energy and that tantric approach. It's quite beautiful and quite exciting and wonderful.
Maybe you can kind of explain a little bit how this rebirthing or breath work works, how you get into it.
Yeah. I think part of it, a main part of it, is that there are certain universal principles in existence, and the breath is demonstrating those principles. The breath is following those principles. The breath is kind of based on those principles, and when you explore them consciously through the breath, you kind of connect with these universal principles, like yin and yang, active and passive, inhale, exhale, rhythm, breathing in rhythm, circles and cycles, connected breathing, circular breathing. And there are certain what I call convergences. I'm not a pure breath rebirther anymore. Like rebirthing was my real start and it's a core practice of mine. But I've integrated lots of other breathwork techniques and various things into it. So I'm basically a rebirther, but with a unique style.
Yes.
And so what I see is that the breath itself is a link. I mean, the breath connects the body with the mind. So you can breathe consciously and deliberately, and if you forget about it, it goes on automatic pilot. So that can't be an accident. That's not a coincidence. It's the only system in the body that meets that criteria. It's completely voluntary, and it's also completely automatic. And so I think that's nature's trying to tell us something. Here's a bridge. Here's a connection. Play with it and explore it and see what you can do with it. So that connecting the body and the mind it's a principle in Aikido and martial arts and in lots of other approaches. A body-mind approach is the way of our day. And breathing is exactly the connection between the body and mind. So for any body-mind approach, the breath is sitting there right up front and center waiting to be used. So I work with it that way. And we also play with, three things. I think the way it works is the element of consciousness. And most of the time, people are simply not conscious of their breathing unless they have a problem with it. Then they become very conscious of it. Otherwise, they just let it be. So when you bring consciousness and breathing together, something happens. A force emerges when we bring together consciousness and energy, and the breathing is representing that energy. So if we just become 5% more conscious of our breathing, our consciousness itself expands. So the more conscious I am of breathing, the more conscious I become in general. The more aware I become of my breath, the more aware I become of many other things without even trying, because I am developing my awareness or refining my awareness or expanding my consciousness. So to include an awareness of your breathing while you are doing something else, being insulted, struggling with a math problem, trying to accomplish some physical feat, when you bring awareness to your breath, it adds a certain power. And anybody can discover that very quickly. So that's the basic element. When we do breath work, we are simply increasing a person's awareness of their breathing so that they by themselves begin to notice, how are they breathing when they're in this emotional state? How are they breathing when they're in this psychological state? How are they breathing at these different times and these different activities? And that creates growth. It sparks, it triggers self-improvement, personal growth, spiritual awakening, and so on. So that's the first, what I call the pillar of the breath work, bringing together consciousness and breath. And it just leads to some awakening all by itself. And there are two other pillars, and we can talk about those, I guess,
coming
up.
After break. Sure. That would be perfect. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with Dan Brühl and more information about breath work.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Feeling depressed? Full of anxiety? Are you suffering from muscle aches, back pain, migraines? Do you have chronic stomach irritation, incontinence? What ailment is occupying your mind's time? At the very least, Reiki will take the edge off of your anxiety. Craniosacral will realign your bones and tissues. Visceral will balance your organs. Holistic healthcare will bring back parts of you that have been lost. Need more of a fix? Attend a holistic workshop or receive an angel card reading. It's all about you getting back to a place where you feel whole, refreshed, and energized. Visit HealingPossibilities.com today or call Tracy at 403-831-3864. It's your life. Don't you deserve the peace, tranquility, and freedom you're entitled to? Go to HealingPossibilities.com and find out more. Side effects include self-awareness.
Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within. And you can tune into The Open Door. Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door, with host Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy, is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Healing Possibilities. To connect with Tracy Makarenko or this week's guests, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll-free in North America, 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to Tracy at HealingPossibilities.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Healing Possibilities with Tracy Makarenko. Today I have Dan Brühl on the line with me. You can find out more about Dan at breathmastery.com. So, Dan, we were talking about different concepts.
Yeah, around breathing.
Yeah.
And it's Brûlé, by the way. My grandfather
was
Brûlé. I have an accent aigu on my E, so I have French-Canadian relatives. And so it's like creme brûlé. It's easy to remember.
The Canadian accent thing. Sorry.
That's all right. No one sees it when you spell it. And so, but yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's part of it, is the beginning idea of just becoming more conscious of your breathing. And if you become more conscious of your breathing, for example, during an argument or when you're playing the piano, you suddenly have a little more grace. There's a little more space. There's a little more ease. You're a little more connected to what you're doing and to yourself at the same time. So that's how I teach. That's like the first step. And, you know, you can't do it for anyone. They have to develop their own breath awareness.
Yes.
So that's an ancient Buddhist practice, by the way. I mean, that's exactly what the Buddha was doing when he became the Buddha. He tried everything. He studied with everywhere. He traveled everywhere. He practiced every known technique. And at some point he realized, you know, I've done everything humanly possible. And he just decided to sit under a tree and watch his breath. He was practicing breath awareness. Ooh, breath coming in, breath going out. Just being moment to moment present and conscious of breathing. And that's how he awakened. So it's a very vital and fundamental practice is breath awareness. You could call it meditative awareness, using the breath as the object of your meditation to develop a meditative awareness. You could meditate on a candle or a picture of a saint, or you could repeat a mantra. However, the breath is also a very perfect means of meditating. So that's the key. That's the first sort of pillar. I call it the convergence. There are three convergences in breath work. The first is the converging of consciousness and breathing. The second is the convergence of relaxation and consciousness. You see, most people, when they're in the most relaxed moments of their day, they're literally sleeping. It's in the middle of the night. They're fast asleep. And their body is totally relaxed. However, they're not awake to experience that relaxation. In fact, it's almost as if nature forces us to go unconscious so that the body can let go. If your mind is busy worrying about this and thinking about that, the body never has a real chance to let go. And so when we go unconscious, the body says, ah, finally, that guy shut up. Now we can rejuvenate. We can recover. And so if we can be completely awake, alert, and conscious, and totally relaxed at the same time, wow, it's like a religious experience for most people. It's a state, it triggers such a profound state of peace that goes beyond understanding, really. Most people have never really been totally conscious when they were totally relaxed. So that's the next key in breath work, as I teach it, to get people to that experience, to be completely awake and completely relaxed. So we move into using the breath to produce more and more relaxation. And we use not even a technique, we use a very natural reflex, a sigh of relief. And we use yawning. So we just have people sigh in a theatrical, dramatic, Shakespearean way again and again, and make them yawn and stretch. And this is starting the process of softening and loosening and relaxing. And then we bring in the more conscious breathing aspect where we begin to invite energy, because that's the third pillar, is bringing together breathing and relaxation. So see, when most people breathe deeply or they breathe quickly or powerfully, they don't relax. They lose the relaxation. And when they relax completely, the breath practically disappears. They don't breathe. And so the first time they're able to manage this art, this skill of bringing together powerful breathing and complete relaxation, then wow, then something really tremendous happens. This energy, our energy channels open, our chakras open, the life force just begins to flow through us in such a powerful way.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like we become aware of our body where we have never been aware of it before.
Yeah, more sensitive to subtle things, tensions, energies, posture, positions. And that begins the real healing process, because now as the breath becomes more and more powerful, the breath will bring into our awareness any blocks, any unconscious patterns we have that are obstructing the flow of chi or life through us. And then we can do the body work or the consciousness work or the breath work that would then handle whatever that issue is that naturally arises during a session. So it's a very natural, organic way to move through layers of our healing process very efficiently in a very orderly, organized, natural way. And yet people have the ability to kind of modulate their process. If they're the kind of person who's wants it all now rather than somebody who wants to just, you know, stand on the edge of the water, put their toes in, gradually move in, then you can have your cake and eat it too. You can honor your own natural rhythm or pace and at the same time be constantly growing, expanding, waking.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I found for myself. I mean, when I started doing the breathing, I went for it, and I went for it hard, I think.
I remember that.
Yeah. You know, I'd give it everything I had, and then other people around me would be, oh, no, I'm not quite ready yet, but I can let go of this today, you know?
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, that's what's so beautiful about it is you really can take it to wherever you want it to go with it.
Yeah, and you can bring it into whatever other practice you have. If I'm looking at a sunset and enjoying the beauty of the sunset, what a perfect moment to take in that sunset. Breathe it in, literally breathe it in. And when you inhale, you open and expand, which means that you're more open to the experience. You can contain more of that beauty, more of that wonderful feeling. And then an exhale, you relax and let go. So the breath turns out to be the perfect way to meet and greet anything that arises in consciousness. If I have a pain in my body, the best thing I can do is to open and expand and relax and let go. And then something can happen to that pain. It very naturally can dissolve, can resolve itself.
Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people actually stop breathing when they have a pain.
Yeah, they hold their breath, they contract their muscles, which literally locks the pain into their system. Now, that's a natural reflex. It's nothing we can even, you know, it happens before we can do anything about it,
mm-hmm.
which is where the focus of my work is now. We realize that, hey, you know what's happening is that we have old programs running our system, like old software imprinted several thousand years ago, survival programs, and they helped us to live, to survive. We needed to be able to contract, hold our breath. I mean, if you're an antelope in the wild and you're munching along and enjoying life, and you suddenly hear a noise, you stop breathing, you freeze, and you listen. And if there's no tiger, then you go back to eating and chomping. So that reaction to contract, hold, freeze is how we survived. That's how we evolved to be able to get to where we are. But now that same reflex is stopping us from going to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's a stranger in the night, our reflex is to contract, hold back, automatically trigger the survival stuff. It could be God. It could be a Buddha. It could be an angel walking your way. But your system will automatically react under the old program. So what we're doing is we're training people to expand and relax when their automatic reaction is to contract and hold. And gradually you reprogram your system so that now, you know, life happens in moments. And if you miss the moment, it's gone. And so if your very first reaction was to contract and hold your breath, and then in the next moment you realize, oh no, it's safe. Well, it's too late. The moment has passed. And so we have to train our system to react in the most resourceful way right away as the very first response. And that's where I'm seeing. That's what I'm really psyched about now, because it became so obvious over the last 10, 15 years that, wow, this is really the key. We are repatterning our body-mind system to react in a different way. And it works in such practical moments. Like you're in an argument and you realize that you're reacting. And your reactions are not really serving you or the other person. It's just, it's happening even though you would like it not to happen. open. Mm-hmm. And so we train ourselves to breathe in, expand and open, breathe out, let go and relax, and that becomes our response. Now, if it's information that's trying to get breakthrough to us and our defenses are throwing it off and blocking it automatically because our system is contracting, now we're in a very resourceful place. We can open and receive the information, and if it doesn't suit us, if it's not for us, in the very next moment, you let it go and flow out. So it's working in very life and death situations on survival level, and it's working on the other end of the spectrum, like helping us to ascend, you know?
Yeah. Well, and so many people are having experiences with spirits and guides, and they are, they're freezing up and they don't know what to do and they get scared.
Yeah, life is accelerating.
Yeah.
People noticing that it's getting more and more intense on the planet, and the vibrations are getting higher, the frequencies are getting higher. And so if your system is automatically or unconsciously holding back and, you know, holding on because of old programs, it creates tremendous stress within the system, fear, anxiety, all kinds of things, you know. So the game too for me now, the process and the practice is, let's get comfortable with intensity. Let's learn to relax into intensity, which is relaxing into an acceleration. And our system doesn't naturally do that. We have to like play with our system and work with the breath to encourage the system to relax into intensity. Because beyond a certain point, outside of a certain zone, our body-mind system doesn't know the difference between intense pain or intense pleasure. All it knows is it's intense, and it's going to react the same way. So if intense love or intense joy or intense peace wants to flood our system and fill our being, our poor mind-body system is going to react to the intensity of it and not even care that it's beautiful, that it's what we've wanted forever, and now it's happening, and our system is holding us back because it's still running old programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using the breath to upgrade our software, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. My nervous system's been off, and I'm not nervous, but my system's been off. And I think it is all about this whole old patterning happening,
mm-hmm.
These old programs where when something takes place, you end up unconsciously holding your breath instead of relaxing into it. And I feel like I'm always bringing myself back to center right now to breathe.
Yeah, it's so easy. And what people don't realize is that they have maybe 100, 500, 1,000 times a day, they have momentary pauses in the breathing, putting a key in a door, trying to remember something, listening intently, shifting gears in their car. I mean, there are so many moments when, because they're not conscious of their breathing, they don't realize that they are injecting these just very slight momentary interruptions in the flow of breath or life force or spirit, whatever you want to call it. And every time we hold our breath, we send an emergency signal to our system. We have that ancient lizard brain who just knows two things, you know, should I eat it or will it eat me? And maybe one third thing, should I mate with it? But otherwise, it's a very simple part of our brain, ancient part of our brain, and it monitors every single breath we take. The root of the breathing system is anchored in that ancient part of the brain. And so this part of the brain is monitoring every single breath, every subtle change in the breathing. And so every time I hold my breath, unconsciously or not, I send an emergency signal to that part of the brain. And so if you do that 100, 1,000 times a day, you are pretty much chronically interrupting what could naturally be a beautiful flow. So that's why we use a sigh of relief, because that part of our brain recognizes that quality of breath. I could tell my body to relax, but it won't listen to me. However, if I give it that sigh of relief, that part of the brain catches that. And it responds in kind. It will produce different chemicals. It will put me into different states. It will allow me to relax. It will, you know, so we can work directly with that part of our brain, which is usually involuntary and out of our control. But through the breath, we can access it and we can transform it.
Which will take us to more miracles happening in our life.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's... I've forgotten what it's like not to have miracles happening every day in my life. I feel like I'm from another planet now, and people tell me their problems, and I don't get it. I go, what's the problem? We're living in an ocean of love. We're being infused by God in every moment. What's the problem? And so I've become a very terrible counselor and a horrible therapist because I have no patience anymore. I think the thing is just so simple and so obvious. People come and they want to breathe and they want to tell me their story. And I go, you know, I don't care.
A story is a
story. Right. If this is your fear or that's your fear, a fear is fear. And if this is your pain or that's your pain, pain is pain. I've heard all the stories, and when it all boils down to the same couple of things, so let's just get to those things and
let them go.
So yeah, because you know we can get caught in this trap of thinking we need to do something before we get there. Let's just go right there.
Yeah. We're going to take a short break now, and we'll be back with Dan Brulé after. If you'd like to call in and ask questions, you can reach us at 1-866-472-5795.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Did you know we're all related? Not just people, but animals, earth, nature, and the elements. Animals are important to all of us, and there's so much they can teach us. Tune in to One Earth, One Heart with host Frankie Storley. Every person has a spirit, heart, and soul waiting to be reawakened and longing to seek spiritual knowledge. Our program will show you how to connect with your own soul as well as your spiritual guides. Listen live every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Feeling depressed? Full of anxiety? Are you suffering from muscle aches, back pain, migraines? Do you have chronic stomach irritation? Incontinence? What ailment is occupying your mind's time? At the very least, Reiki will take the edge off of your anxiety. Craniosacral will realign your bones and tissues. Visceral will balance your organs. Holistic healthcare will bring back parts of you that have been lost. Need more of a fix? Attend a holistic workshop or receive an angel card reading. It's all about you getting back to a place where you feel whole, refreshed, and energized. Visit HealingPossibilities.com today or call Tracy at 403-831-3864. It's your life. Don't you deserve the peace, tranquility, and freedom you're entitled to? Go to HealingPossibilities.com and find out more. Side effects include self-awareness.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are listening to Healing Possibilities. To connect with Tracy Makarenko or this week's guests, please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's toll-free in North America, 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to Tracy at healingpossibilities.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back. This is Tracy Makarenko. Today I have Dan Brulé joining me. We're talking about breath work and healing through breath work and just becoming more conscious about breathing every minute of the day.
Yeah, or as often as possible and in as many different situations as possible, because that adds to our self knowledge. We discover more and more of ourselves whenever we can step back into the breath and observe from that place. Yeah.
Yeah, it just, it fascinates me all the time. I mix it with the work I do, which is the cranial sacral and the visceral work. And the first thing I always do with my clients when they come in is check to see if they're breathing. And it's amazing how many people aren't. Or they take a quick little breath in between their pauses in their conversation. Mm-hmm. But most of them don't even breathe any lower than their throat.
Yeah, I've been studying breathing patterns for so long now. It's just been my passion. I'm talking to people, they're talking to me, and most of the time they have no idea that I'm sort of open to what they're hearing, what they're saying, but I'm really focusing on their breathing. Mm-hmm. When they move, when they talk, when they react. Because as the yogis learned, every psychological, emotional, physiological state has a corresponding breathing pattern or breathing quality. And the way you breathe when you're angry and upset is different than the way you breathe when you're peaceful and calm. And you can see that in extreme states. A person goes from comfort to sudden shock, and you can see the breath express that sudden shock. Or if they have a serious pain all of a sudden, and you can see how the breath is right there expressing that change in state. So it works both ways. If every time we move from a state of, say, the state of anger to the state of ease, or the state of fear to the state of relaxation, there's a change in our breathing. And that change is a very good piece of information, because if you watch what the natural change that occurs when someone goes from stress to no stress, and you see the change in the breathing pattern, then you can use that breathing pattern, use the change to move the state. Mm-hmm. So if every time our emotional state changes, our breathing pattern changes, then by changing our breathing pattern, we can change our emotional state and psychological state and physiological state and everything. So it puts a great power in our hands. The breath is just such it gives us access to things that you could struggle with and try to figure out forever, and the breath just gives you immediate, direct way into all that.
Yeah, and out.
And out of it quickly, yeah. And that's the other skill we're learning right now, we're teaching and practicing everywhere I go, is the ability to let go of your exhale quickly and completely. Not slowly, not gradually. Those are beautiful exercises to lengthen your exhale, slow the exhale down, you know, stretch your exhale out to 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. Long, slow exhales are very useful, very powerful breathwork exercise technique and practice. However, an even more vital practice is the ability to simply set the exhale free, to just let it go, to snap it loose, to dump it out. So that ability to let go totally is so powerful, because once you let go of the breath completely and quickly, then you can link a muscle to it. So you let go of the breath, then you let go of a muscle at the same time. And then you build on that skill. But the basic skill is the skill of letting go, which is a spiritual principle, right? Let go mm-hmm. and let God. And so, but if you're in pain, you don't want a long, slow process to get out of pain. You want to get out of pain now.
Yeah.
And so what I've discovered and what we're observing in people is that if you cannot let go of your breath, let go of the exhale without controlling it, not pushing, not forcing, not blowing, not holding it back, not controlling it, but simply setting it free, letting it go. If you can't do that, don't be surprised if you cannot let go of pain. If you cannot let go of your breath, don't be surprised if you cannot let go of anxiety or fear. And if you can't let go of your breath, don't be surprised if you cannot let go of thoughts that are turning in your head and bothering you. But if you can let go of your breath, you surprise yourself at how easy it is to let go of pain or fear or disturbing thoughts. And it seems magical once people catch it. Once it's an art, it's a skill. It's like balance. You can't teach it to anyone. How do you teach someone else balance? You can't teach balance, but anyone can learn balance. So playing with the breath, we just sort of we discover that we're learning lots of other things in the process. We're making progress on all the other levels as we make progress in our breath work.
Yeah. And it just takes you to that next place of breathing, because there's got to be another level of it.
Oh, just layers and layers forever. Thank God, because it's, you know, I've been doing this now for 35 years, and had I reached any point where I could say, aha, here we are, I'd be sitting on a couch watching TV and drinking beer. And so thank God that there's no end to what we can accomplish or discover or explore. And it's just, I'm amazed after all this time, and I try to start over again and again and again as often as I can, because sometimes what you know can really get in the way, and what you're good at can actually get in your way at some point. So the ability to let go of what you know, of who you are, of the past, of everything, wow, that's like that creates a possibility of some real instant transformation, some quantum leaps, you know?
Well, yeah, and the breath it does, it takes you to places you don't expect to go to.
Yeah.
All the time. Even if you set an intention, you might as well just forget about it, because that's probably not where you're going.
That's exactly what I'm telling people about our India trip. Okay, we have a plan, but don't just realize this. India has its own plan for anybody who goes there. So that's exactly how our own personal process works. We might think that we, you know, I need to get rid of my headaches, or I need to discover how to do this. But maybe there's something else that needs to happen first, and life knows it, but you don't.
Yeah.
And so you're busy trying to do something, and something else is needing to happen.
And you're holding up the process.
Exactly. Yeah. So the ability to let go, but that's scary. Letting go is really scary, you know. People let go and they're hurt. They let go and they're betrayed. They let go and people take advantage of them. They let go and they do something wrong. They let go and they're criticized. And so we've got a lot of automatic stuff built into our system that doesn't let us let go. And that's what we burn through with the breath. That's what we find, access, and dissolve with the breathing. All those places that we don't know that are holding us back.
Yeah, but on the other side of someone hurting us is magic.
Oh, I can't, you know, I look at the worst things that have ever happened to me, and honestly, they've all been blessings. It didn't seem like it at the time.
No.
Sometimes you have to look back. Sometimes it takes a long time before you realize, oh my God, that was exactly what I needed. Had that not happened, I wouldn't be here now. And I think people get that intellectually, but it's a little tough in the moment to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can remember to breathe in a moment, then you'll be surprised at what else you can remember. You know, it's like Phil Lout, a good friend of mine, said, you know, rebirthing is the art of learning to relax when it's the last thing you would think to do. But it's what you need to do most in that moment. However, it just doesn't come to you to do it. And so if you get over that hump on any level, for example, in breathing. So I want to remember to be loving. I want to remember to be open and compassionate. I want to remember not to get plugged in. Now, it's hard to remember that stuff. However, by remembering to breathe, remembering all those other things suddenly becomes so much easier and automatic. You automatically wake up in those moments instead of having to, like, you know, remind yourself to wake up. It starts to happen by itself, because the breathing is repatterning your system, so that at first you have to think about it. Okay, take a breath. Relax now. Okay, you're safe. It's okay. And if you do that consciously, you can work yourself through a situation with, you know, without a lot of difficulty. However, if it's automatic, without even thinking about it, the breath comes to you, opens you, and relaxes you. Wow. Now life is really easy. Now life gets really exciting.
Yeah. No, and, you know, a lot of people are looking for other ways to do this. They go to the gym and or run 15 miles to get rid of those thoughts in their head.
And those things make you breathe.
They do.
So that's why I say, hey, why don't you just breathe?
Yeah, exactly. So we're all kind of looking for the same thing. We're just looking for it in a different way, and we might not realize what it is we're looking for is that breathing.
Right. And, you know, whenever we find that, this is kind of a funny thing, but whenever you're looking for something, it's always in the last place that you look. And breathing is like that. People have tried this and tried that, spent years meditating, going, and the last thing they think of is, hey, wait a minute, it's right under my nose. What about, like, the Buddha
himself? Yeah.
Literally. So, and most people I'm meeting, and maybe because it's catchy, you know, awakening spreads, love spreads, you know, truth spreads. And so people get together, one person gets it, and it spreads to the next person. And people are getting it, and the whole thing is really accelerating now. It's quite beautiful to be part of this, like, acceleration that something big, something huge is coming.
Oh,
and
yeah.
If the system reacts in the old way, oh boy, it's going to be hell. Yeah.
No, the healing has just speeded up on the earth, and everybody seems more aware of things that we don't even have to tell them about, like we did even 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing that all the time now, definitely. It's like, wow. It's as our personal vibrations get higher, the planet's vibrations get higher. And as the planet's vibrations get higher, our personal vibrations get higher. And this whole thing is attracting higher frequency beings, ascended masters, saints, you know, everybody's coming in to get in the game because something really beautiful and exciting is coming. And those people who are a few steps ahead of us are kind of lingering on the path just to kind of, like, you know, help us. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of fun.
And then other people are running to catch up.
Right. Well, we had this great analogy at the workshop the other day. Imagine this caravan with maybe 1,000 wagons in this, you know, wagon train crossing the desert. And the first wagon has already gone the other side of the desert. And the last wagon hasn't even entered the desert. And the rest of the wagons are in the desert. However, if this wagon train is connected and conscious, we're all there already.
Yeah. It's happened.
We've made it. We've got through.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So Dan, I'm just about to close up here. Just where can people find more information about you and your workshops?
Well, if you go to breathmastery.com and I have a monthly newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter, and at the same time, you can download an ebook, a free ebook, with a big collection of articles and different approaches to breathing. So breathmastery.com is the best place to start. And send me an email through there if anyone has any questions or they want any support or help. I can't say no to anyone who is ready to breathe.
Oh, that's so good to hear. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hey, thank you, Tracy.
And so next week we'll be talking about the solar plexus. And for more information about me, you can find me at www.healingpossibilities.com for my monthly newsletter, Facebook or Twitter. And I want to thank everyone for joining us today. Remember, knowledge is healing. The process has already started for you. So sending love and light. Hope you have an amazing week.
Thank you again for listening this week. Please be sure to join Tracy Makarenko for Healing Possibilities every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Have a balanced week, and we'll talk again on the next show.